Welcome to another episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Horstman, and my prayer for you is that the Lord would be pleased to bless this show and use it to provide you as a Christian parent with gospel-centered, grace-driven ideas and encouragement for shepherding your children's hearts and cultivating your family's relationships with Jesus and with each other. Friends, welcome back to this episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast today. I am honored to welcome Mrs. Sam Sorbo to our show today. Sam, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be here.
Yes, yes. And so what our viewers don't know is I think we had to reschedule like 3 or 4 times to do this interview. But I was still looking forward to it the whole time, and here we are today. So so I'm really excited. So I'm just going to give you a brief intro for those of you who, those of our listeners who don't know who you are. But Sam is an education freedom advocate, and her mission is to help parents and their children emancipate from our modern school system. She was a successful Hollywood film actress, writer, and producer, but she stepped back from her own career to immerse herself in the home education of her own 3 children for over a decade, which is awesome. So just like me, she recognizes the brokenness of our institutional system, and she now understands that there's much more to education than just academics. So she is a prolific author, podcast, radio host, public speaker, and home education mentor, and she's dedicated to teaching families how to educate differently, which is a theme of our talk today. So we will have all the links to her website, her resources, social media, all that in the show notes with this episode. Like I said, we'll just kind of jump into the conversation, how to homeschool or home educate differently. So,
my favorite conversation.
Yes, yes, it's a passion point of mine as well. So, so the first question I have for you is like, you know, what made you consider homeschooling in the first place? Like, how did you, like, what, you know, where did you hear about it? Like, how did you get
so,
in touch with it?
Yeah. Talking to people about their sort of genesis story is always a little bit interesting because so many of us come to homeschooling through completely different means. It's almost like, finding religion, right? And certain people come to God in many different ways, and homeschooling is similar in that way. I just realized that I didn't like what the school was sending back to me every day. Not I didn't like my son, but I didn't like the things that my son was bringing home. Right. And it was, they were failing academically. It wasn't that he was failing academically. They were failing to challenge him. There was some bullying in the school. I didn't appreciate that. There was some other stuff that was happening in the school that I didn't appreciate. And I finally said to Kevin, and this was in second grade, and we had moved for the school. So we found like a great school district, right? And we moved there.
Right.
And I said to Kevin, you know, I think I could homeschool and fail and he would still be better off. And I still hold that till today. It's worse now in the schools than it ever has been. But you know what? I want to pick up on something that you said that, because I feel like I need to update my bio a little bit. I recognize the brokenness in our schools, right? But the fact is that the schools aren't broken, but they have broken us.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's really my sort of what I try to promote to parents, the message that I have for parents. And I'll tell you a funny story. Somebody just sent me an email that was, it was kind of nasty, actually. It was meant in a nasty way. And it made my day. And the reason is this. She said something like, I homeschooled my kids all the way through, straight into college. They're all super successful. And I did it way before anyone needed the likes of some uppity actress who wrote a book and is only in this for the money or something like that, which is hilarious because I don't make any money doing it. Basically, I mean,
right.
Well, that's not true because I do get paid to speak. But my point is that's not why I do this. Why I do this is to promote the idea that she is actually sending to me. You don't need me. You don't need an expert. But the schools have taught us that we need experts, that we are not qualified, and that we need to rely on the school system for the education of our children. And so what I loved about her message was, we don't need the likes of you. And I'm sitting here going, you're right. Yay for you! You're absolutely right.
You got it, right, yeah. Yes, so, I know, I love that.
My message is a message of empowerment. You can do this. It's not that hard. It just isn't. And you know why it's not that hard?
Why?
Because God made children intrinsically curious. Learning is the easiest thing for them to do. But the school makes it hard. The school says teaching's hard. That's a lie. The school tells us that parenting is hard. That's a lie. That's just to convince us to give up our children to the enemy. And that's what we're doing.
I agree. Yeah, and I like how you said, you know, about updating your bio. And I see your point. And it reminds me, I had a conversation a couple months ago with someone else. And he kind of said the same thing. He's like, you know, we always talk about the school system being broken and it's not the way it should be. But he's like, in reality, it's not broken. It's done exactly what it set out to do. And it was not to be a friendly thing for parents or for the children. It's, you know, basically an indoctrination center and everything else. So, yeah, I love that. So how does homeschooling improve on public education? What differences do you see there and how do you think it's better?
Oh, it's better in every single way. There's no comparison. It's like viewing a film in Technicolor as opposed to a silent film in black and white. Mm-hmm. Not even.
Yeah.
You know, here's the analogy. We've been sending our kids to the bar and then wondering why they're coming back drunk. Mm-hmm. That was our generation. That was before. Now the kids are coming back high on fentanyl and ecstasy. And we're saying, hey, just go back to serving them alcohol. I mean, don't send your children to the bar. Like, let's not get our children high. How about that? And so when I talk to parents now, the message that we want to say is, hey, stop indoctrinating our children. And I say, instead of worrying about the indoctrination of your children in school, consider your own indoctrination. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's putting them in that system.
Amen. Yeah. It's like it was bad enough back when, you know, you and our parents and them were in school. And it's like, yeah, it's gone off the rails now.
I went to Duke University. I studied biomedical engineering. I speak five languages and I felt inadequate to the task of educating my third grader.
Yeah.
That's saying something about my own indoctrination because anybody else on the outside would say to me, what are you worried about? He's third grade. Like, how hard can it be, Sam?
Yeah. You know, you're successful. You got it.
Right? And so, but my indoctrination taught me I'm inadequate. And that's what the indoctrination system has done. So let's not call it an education system. Let's call it a school system or an indoctrination system. You've been schooled. I was schooled. And it took me over a decade to sort of undo so much of my schooling as to be able to set my children free. So the difference between, because you did ask, the difference between, you know, the school system product and the home environment product. And while I can't say I did it wrong because I schooled my children at home, the first two anyway. The third one taught me it's not about me. I'm not the teacher. They teach themselves. That's the paradigm. That's the extraordinary paradigm. The school actually gets in the way of the child teaching himself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't facilitate. I'm trying to be generous here. Maybe 10% of the population is served by a school environment, right? And so, but still that paradigm is a lockdown paradigm. It's not a freedom paradigm. It's you are beholden to the textbooks, to the teacher, to the classroom, you need a desk, you need a pencil, you need paper. This is how you learn. Well, that maybe works for 10% of inside the box thinkers.
Right. Right? Not for the majority, right?
Not for the majority. And we now have, you know, Ivy League colleges, some of which are in deep trouble, but anyway, Ivy League colleges, these are respected institutions. They used to be anyway. And they were actively before everything started to fall apart, really, they were actively recruiting home-educated kids because they're outside-the-box thinkers. They are the problem solvers. Just seriously, it didn't even matter what their parents did. Just from the viewpoint of they didn't grow up inside a box. Right. They weren't institutionalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
They taught themselves, oh, I better figure this out for myself. I better figure that out for myself. They weren't busy regurgitating memorized information rote by rote on an exam. And so the difference is so vast. It's like there's no comparison. And by the way, like the school has stolen the family from the culture. So we no longer, I mean, people are complaining about, oh, you know, there's so little parenting going on. Parents really need to step up to the plate. Nobody showed them how to be a parent, and there's no class on that. That's generational knowledge that's handed down. And nobody showed them. And that's why we have a huge lack of parenting that's going on right now. And this enormous sort of experiment that we're performing on young people, giving them smartphones and access to social media at the age of 8 and 9 and 10, and therefore access to porn and access to all kinds of, you know, human trafficking, all this stuff, right? This is a grand experiment. And where are the parents? Mm-hmm. Where are the parents of the young woman who the school says, no, you must change clothes in front of that transgender guy with a beard, wearing a hoodie in the locker room, sitting there with his phone out? Where's the father of that young woman saying, no, my daughter's, you know, chastity is too precious for that. Her integrity is too precious for that. I will not put up with that. No. You will back down. Where are those dads? Well, nobody taught them how to be dads. We've raised it. And by the way, sending boys into the school institution feminizes them. It emasculates them, because forcing boys to sit at a desk instead of go outside and climb trees and hit things with sticks,
it's
emasculating.
Yeah, we could do a whole other conversation just on that alone. Totally agree with you there. So I see what you're saying. It's just, and like you said, it's getting worse because the last generation didn't learn how to parent, and now, and so we're like, well, just go back to the way we were. Well, the way we were is what got us to where we are now. And it's just getting progressively worse from each, from one generation to the next. So, yeah, totally see where you're going there. So, what about socialization? You know, that's a big thing that a lot of people are against homeschooling. They're like, oh, what about socialization? You know, your kids aren't going to be socialized or whatever. So, what do you think about that, and how do you respond to that?
Well, I love that question, because now we have children who are pooping in litter boxes in the hallway. So, what? Let's define socialization.
Yeah.
Do you want your child to learn a bunch of lies so that they can lie to other people about who they are?
Right.
Is that what you're like? Let's talk about your goal there. Like, what is the intent of the question? What about socialization? Do you actually believe that when you send your child into just an environment of lots of other children, that your child is going to be football captain? What's to say that your child won't be socialized into being a bully? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
So it's a very vague socialization. What does that mean? Yeah. I mean, I gave birth to one extreme extrovert. He has friends, literally friends all over the world. He's never met a stranger. And the other two, my other two, are both introverts, one of whom is basically an extreme introvert. If I had sent her to school, it would have killed her. She'd be cutting. She'd be goth. She'd be there's. And she's actually admitted that to me. She's like, oh, yeah, I would not have survived. We do one day a week of a local homeschool co-op type thing. She has three other students in her class. She comes home absolutely exhausted at the end of the day.
Wow.
She can't stand to be around it. They are so draining for her. So what do you mean socialization? Are your children just widgets? They're not special in any way. They just should be put in with the mainstream so that they can conform to every other child out there. Is that what you're saying? You know, I mean, we have so many lies that we tell ourselves. I was talking to somebody the other day. We tell ourselves this lie. It absolutely breaks my heart, this lie. Well, children are resilient. Really? Is that why there's so much therapy happening about what people endured during their childhood?
Yeah.
Like, but we need to excuse the divorce. Children are resilient. Don't worry about the kids. You do you. We have become so selfish. Why? Because we went to school and we learned to be selfish. We were taught, you figure yourself out. You make yourself successful college prep and career readiness is convincing you of your intrinsic value as a money earner. That's all you have. And that is a lie. And so then people grow up and they go to college, they follow all the rules. And if they don't make the money, then they're like, well, I didn't make the money. My life is a failure. Mm-hmm. If they do, and they go on Xanax or whatever, right? If they do make the money, they're still looking around going, why am I not happy? I have all the money. I did what they told me was going to bring me happiness, success, right. Happiness, right? That's the equation, is all of the money and the success brings you happiness, right? Otherwise, why are you chasing it? So it's this tacit understanding. And so they've got the money, the success. They you know, have all the perks or the status objects that they need, right? But they're still not happy, and they're going, why?
Yeah.
And so they buy a new Ferrari, or they get a better-looking pool boy, or they do something, right? And they do something to try to fill this void, which is a spiritual void that cannot be filled with material things. And the only thing that really can fill it is relationship. But they were taught relationships are secondary.
Yes. Relationship with God first, and then with your family second, both go together. I've definitely known people like that in my life. And it's like, they've got everything money could buy.
And it's sad.
Like, yes. And it's but like, there's still,
the people,
yeah.
But there's also the people who have nothing that money could, like they have barely anything. And they're looking at the people with the money and they're going, well, I wish if only I had that money. I love what Jim Carrey said. He said that he wishes that everybody could get the money and the fame so that they would understand that it's not at all what it's cracked up to be. It doesn't bring you happiness. It's not about that.
No, it's not. It is
and,
not.
And so when you send your child to, so you're talking, because you asked me before, the difference between home education and school. Right. When you put your child in school, they're learning that. How do you mitigate for that? Forget the academics. How do you fix that tremendous lie that they are perpetrating on your child?
Yeah, I agree. So even if the academics is perfect, even if the academics is perfect, that would be a huge showstopper right there.
Well, I mean, if the academics is perfect, then all you're doing is making a smarter criminal, because they're not giving the child anything to live up to. They're not giving the child any kind of moral understanding. And so, you know, what's to prevent the child from saying, yeah, if I screw everybody over, I win the game? You don't, but that's the assumption. Survival of the fittest.
Exactly. That's where that worldview comes through, doesn't it? So. Okay. Well, let's take just a quick break real quick. And then I have a few other questions, about private school and then maybe one or two other objections to how homeschooling works. We'll be right back. Is raising children with a vibrant Christian faith one of your biggest concerns as a parent? In today's secular culture, it can feel like an uphill battle to instill strong biblical values in our sons and daughters. You're not alone in this struggle. As Christian parents, we all want our families to thrive and be a light for Christ. But sometimes we need guidance and support to build up that vibrant home life we desire. That's why I'm excited to share with you an incredible online event, the Spring 2024 Vibrant Home Life Summit. This 5-day virtual conference features over 30 Christian speakers, pastors, authors, and parents, including Brooke Wayne, Rob Reinow, Sam Sorbo, and others. These voices will encourage, inspire, and equip you with practical biblical wisdom, from nurturing family relationships to raising competent Christian adults to impacting the culture for Jesus. This conference covers it all. It's an amazing opportunity to breathe new life into your family's walk with the Lord. Visit familydiscipleshippodcast.com/vibrant for more details. Together, let's renew a passion for building a home that glorifies God. Again, we have Mrs. Sam Sorbo with us today, and we've been talking about homeschooling, the difference between home education and the public school indoctrination system. So now I want to switch gears just a little bit, and talk about private school. How do you think they compare to homeschool? Is there a difference between private school and the government school system, or pros and cons? What do you think?
Yeah. So my objections to the school systems. To schools is not based on the academics. So if you're just looking at the academics, you might do better at a private school than at a school, like at a government school. Right. You might get some religious training at a private school that you obviously won't get in a government school. You know, there are some perks and that you pay for when you take your child to a private school, whatever private school. My struggle is that the schools steal the family from the culture, and that the parents are never taught what they're sacrificing when they drop their child off at school, but they are sacrificing more than they could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And so I have a couple reasons that I say that. One, when you drop your child off at another authority, you are tacitly telling that child, they're the authority, trust them. I don't know and I'm incapable, so trust them. Does that make sense? Then the first day that the child comes home with a permission slip, Mommy, you have to sign my permission slip. I want to go on the field trip, and teacher says you have to sign it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, give me the permission slip. And there, you've just gone under the authority of the teacher. You now no longer have authority in your own home, because the teacher's authority will supersede yours every time. And so when the teacher says, well, Mommy kills dolphins because she put a plastic bag in your lunchbox, we need to talk to Mommy about that. Then you fall in the eyes of your child. This is disruptive because God's plan is for the children to revere their parents as God on earth. Forgive me, this is not blasphemous. This is just sort of the paradigm. So the child reveres the parent, right? They want to be like the parent. They look at the parent to emulate the parent. But when the parent's authority is undermined, when their stature is undermined, what's the child to do? And by the way, the child reveres the parent and eventually transfers that reverence to God, the Father, right? That's why he's called God the Father, because he takes the place, in the sense, of the terrestrial father in the home when the child reaches enough maturity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So when the school comes in, the school casts a huge shadow over that, and the child's looking up at the school, and what's the authority of the school? The government. And the child is taught to worship government.
Amen.
And they go hand in hand. So the disdain for the parent. And the culture, by the way, and I'm a filmmaker, so, you know, I abandoned this element of Hollywood. But the culture has for years, for decades, been telling us parents are stupid, fathers are dumb. You know, it's in all the sitcoms. And the rebellious teenagers and all of that. I'll tell you a quick anecdote. My kids, when they were teenagers, my husband used to travel a lot, and I was doing a daily radio show early in the morning. So I would go to bed early with my laptop. I'd get a little bit of work done, calm down for the evening, prep for my show, and go to bed early. And on any given weeknight, my kids, one of them would come, you know, knock softly, come into my bedroom, sit on the end of my bed, and just download their day to me. And I never turned them down. I would always shut my laptop, put it to the side, make a mental note, okay, it's going to be a little bit later of a night tonight kind of thing. But they wanted relationship with me, and they got it. They still have it. Like, we still have this tremendous bond that you cannot, I can't put like a value on it and say, this is what you're sacrificing when you give your children to the school. But it's, I can't put a value because it's immeasurable. That relationship that I cultivated because I chose to keep my children with me. And so, you know, the difference between sending your child to any school and keeping them home and educating them yourself. And the problem is, like, it's just not that hard to do this. You think it's hard because they want you to think it's hard, because they either want your money or they want your child because they want to have sex with your child. It's one or the other. Mm-hmm. But what are their, I'm not imputing all teachers. There are some great teachers out there, and there are some great administrators, and they feel like they're serving a need. I get it. And they are serving a need. There are certain parents who no amount of convincing, no amount of persuasion is going to help them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not I'm not talking to those parents. Right. They're beyond my reach. I get that. Right. But right. I'm talking to parents who are still sitting on the fence. There's no trade that I would ever make. You could offer me, I don't know, the best acting role ever and an Oscar and, you know, huge accolades and world fame and whatever. I don't care.
Right.
There's nothing that you could get that I would trade and go back in time and send my children into that system and forfeit my relationship with my children, because I want grandbabies. I want family. That's my goal. That's what life is about. And I'm sorry that you've been taught that life is about money. It's not.
No, it's not.
And when you get to be older and your kids don't give a crap about you because they're very busy being successful, living their lives. And I'm not saying like you're, you know, because you're a bad parent or whatever, but when you remove yourself from your children's lives, they will remove themselves from your life. It's just... That's the way it works.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen too. So
at least,
I understand. Yeah.
And there are obviously, that's not the fixed rule. There are exceptions to every rule. I know I'm making some sort of generalizations, but in general, that's the way it works.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Like you said, you know, thankfully there are exceptions, but generally, yeah. And I love hearing that from you. You know, how you know close your children are even today as adults. You know, and how you can't put a price tag on that. So. And yeah, imagine, I don't think, you know, and it's funny because like I have a neighbor, who's kind of like-minded and somewhat, you know, he's sick and tired of the school, in our city here. and
where are you?
I'm in Quad Cities, Iowa. So like Eastern Iowa. But you know, the particular area where I'm at, it has a pretty good, you know, school system, kind of like you're saying. But it, you know, he comes home just angry about all the stuff, you know, all the, you know, transgender
good
things
how.
Like that.
Let's
but
define it, our right. terms, right?
Right.
Define
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Good how.
Oh,
yeah.
A
yeah.
Good
I mean, good. Yeah. It has a good reputation, right? But it's not. Yes. Yes. And he comes back and he tells me all the time. He's like, you know, this is going on there. I'm like, oh, really? In this good school, right? But he's sick of it. So, you know, he's trying to find a solution. He's not quite convinced of homeschooling yet. And so he's, you know, looking
for. Send him to me. Show him this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to address that for a minute because
yeah.
I gave a whole sort of, I was asked to speak at this banquet. And after the banquet, and I gave my spiel about why school, the paradigm of school, locks the child into a slave mentality, where the child needs an expert. This is the problem, is the people who are coming to me are expecting me to give them homework, because that's their paradigm. That's their lived experience. So I'm the expert, therefore I should assign homework, which, by the way, I do now, because I understand that they're stuck in this paradigm, and the only way to get them out of the paradigm is to assign the proper homework for them to exorcise the demons that they were in, you know, that were invested in them when they were in school. I gave this whole spiel. I had somebody come up to me after a couple. They said, "We just love what you say. You're absolutely right. The schools are not broken. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're enslaving the youth. It's terrible, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "That's awesome. So, and you have a child, right?" They said, "Yeah, he's 15 now." I said, "So you homeschool?" No. He goes to, well, we have a really good public school down the street from us. Mm-hmm. And that's where he goes. And I'm like, literally like cognitive dissonance. It's not making sense. How do I fit these two things together? I'm right. But their kid, they're very happy that their kid goes to a government school.
Yeah.
And I said, and they said, it's a good school. And I said, That's so cool. Define good. What does good mean? And they said, "Well, it's where we went to school. We met there." And I said to them, "You know, it's not the same teachers. It's not the same textbooks. What is his locker near where your locker was? Is that what makes it a good school?"
Yeah.
And they couldn't even hear how ridiculous that sounded. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we have not been given to this as part of our indoctrination, having been through school, right? We were not taught discernment. We were not taught the skills that we need in our lives today. We were disabused of them We were prevented from learning them. We were distracted into learning the Pythagorean theorem, which I love because I'm a math person. I love it. But seriously, who needs that? Right. We need discernment. We need, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, character formation that we didn't get because we spent so much time being distracted by the piddly things that they teach in school, the academics that we don't use. Right. And so I challenge parents, ask yourself this, do you actually do as your career today what you studied for in school?
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't.
I do not.
Do you use what you studied in school today on a daily basis? Most people don't. Have you ever taught yourself anything? Yes, absolutely. Because nobody taught you how to lease a car. You figured out how to lease a car. Okay, the salesman, you know, told you a few things. Your friends told you, you asked some questions, you got some answers. You taught yourself how to lease. You learned the hard way, and the next time you leased a car, you did a better job of negotiating or whatever. We need young people to know how to teach themselves. That is the big job that we have in front of us if we're going to save the nation, is we need young people who are problem solvers, who go, oh, that's a puzzle. I wonder how we can, you know, drain the swamp. I wonder how we can, you know, get this person out of office so that we can put somebody in who has a stronger moral conviction and isn't going to just take our tax dollars and you know, give it to all their friends. For no reason, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And so we need people who are going to say, I wonder how to do that. Well, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to start here. I'm going to talk to these people. Like, that's not what we're turning out of schools.
No, it's not.
That's why, you know, so many young people are graduating. They can't hold down a job, much less have a career.
Yeah.
And they're graduating in, you know, $80,000, $200,000 in debt. For what? Because nobody gave them any discernment. Nobody taught them, well, if you're going to borrow this much money to get this degree, do you know what the earning potential of the degree is?
Mm-hmm.
That might be something like, why are you investing in stock if the ultimate value of the stock is going to be negative?
Yeah, that makes sense, nobody right? Right.
We can say it's on purpose.
Yeah.
We don't have to blame teachers to say the system is corrupt. The government has no business teaching the citizenry in this nation because it's a conflict of interest. And the government should know better, and the citizens should know better, and we got sucked into it.
I agree 100%. Man, I wish we could talk on this for way longer, but unfortunately we are almost out of time for today. so before we wrap up, I know you have a book called They're Your Kids. So do you kind of go over some of the stuff in that book, or is that
absolutely
a little bit different? Okay.
So I'll walk you through the book.
Sure.
Your Kids. This is an inspirational journey from self-doubter to homeschool advocate. I made the full journey for you. You can just come along for the ride. This book, the first half is why you should homeschool. The second half is how easy it is. My stories, my mistakes, my surprise endings and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. People seem to really like this book. This one is Teach From Love. It's a devotional for families for the school year. You do a short reading every day. It's very short, one page a day. And then the follow-up is, obviously, there's a verse and there's a prayer. And then it follows up with two open-ended questions. This is to get you to have deeper conversations with your kids, to inspire more profound conversations with your kids, to figure out who they are, to help them figure out who they are, to help them know who you are. And people seem to really enjoy this and getting to that level with their kids that transcends the superficial level that our culture sort of, so this is even for kids who go to school. Like if your parents, if the parents of the kids who go to school do this with their kids every day, it will at least foster a deeper relationship, which is what I'm all about. And then maybe the parents will realize that they're sacrificing something by sending their kids away from them for 8 hours a day. Then there's the playbook for home learning. This is this is actually a workbook. So you can see it's like a lot of fill in the blank. And this is 15 videos. This is the crash course in what we should be talking about when we say education, right? Okay. So how to home educate. This is the how to and how to approach it and how to win of home educating. So I just break it all down for the parents who are nervous. Like, I get that they're nervous. I understand, because I was. And I, you know, I want them to relax and understand that it's a completely different paradigm. It's a much better life. Just full stop, it's a better life to do this with your children, to do it in partnership with your children, and to partner with them as they grow into adulthood. That's what this is about. That's what family is about. And it's such a beautiful thing. And then lastly, I'll just plug this one, Words for Warriors. Fight back against crazy socialists and the toxic liberal left. This is a dictionary, basically, of the words that they have taken from us. Redefined. Like, we don't know what a woman is anymore. Like, they've taken that word away from us. And so I want to win the words back. It's a war of words. And by the way, this book is dedicated. Guess who it's dedicated to?
Who?
The word.
There you go. I love
that. Words have power.
Yes.
And when they steal our words, they're taking our power.
They do. Yes, they sure do. Well, thank you so much. And so where can our listeners find that?
SorboStudios.com. Everything is available at SorboStudios.com. And I should tell you, I'm just coming out with a new product. It's called the Homeschool Starter Gift Set. So if you are just getting started, it's perfect for you. It's actually good for people who have already embarked, because it just goes back to basics, and maybe it will set them free. It's a combination of several resources. I can't list them all. I've put together a ton of resources to try to help parents revamp their whole landscape of what they're thinking when they think education, because most people, when they think education, they think school. And that's the biggest fallacy. And it's funny, because I spoke a couple weekends ago in Dallas, and I just did my spiel, and one of the gals who was there emailed me and said, I've been homeschooling for 19 years. I've got 8 more to go. And I just want to tell you, you brought to my mind how much I still adhere to the school paradigm. And I want to thank you for telling me I'm free to go. I tell you that
this
meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to do what they tell you school is, because it's not education.
Amen. Amen. I've really appreciated this conversation. I wish, like I said, I wish we could go on and on, but we are almost out of time. So just want to wrap it up and thank you once again for your time today. And I will have all the links for, like I said, your website and things like that. So please, to our audience, please go check out those resources. They sound like awesome.
Thank you. Oh, I have a new TV show on Patriot.tv, weekdays at 7 p.m., so tune in.
Okay. Well, I'll put the link on there for that too as well. So
thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your time. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope you'll come back next time, and see you later, and God bless. You've been listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast. I truly hope that you've been blessed and encouraged by the things we've covered today. And I'd love to hear your feedback, questions, or even suggestions for a particular guest or topic that you would like to see featured on a future episode. Feel free to email host@familydiscipleshippodcast.net. And don't forget to follow the show on social media and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss new episodes as they're released. I hope you'll be able to join us again next week, but in the meantime, I pray that the Lord will continue to bless your family as you endeavor to shepherd your children's hearts and cultivate your family's relationships with Jesus and with each other.